Yo, son.
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd. It's primal.
And that's raw.
Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits,
are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And we suckered Clark Kent into hanging out with us a little bit longer. So thank you, Clark.
It's a blessing and an honor to be here.
Sife, this might be Clark's, if you count the one that wasn't out in full.
Yeah.
It could be your fourth time. It might be his fourth time on one app.
Third, because we did one at Hot 97.
Yeah, was that it? It was only one there when you came up with Ronnie?
Yeah.
And that was the only one?
Yeah, I think one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was, so this is only two officially?
Yeah, that was the time when Sife was like, did you ever have an off moment in a party? I say never. He's looking at me like, never?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's funny from that interview with Ronnie from Kith, you said something that to this day stick in my head every time I choose a pair of sneakers to wear. Clark Kent said, as much, we haven't even talked about his sneakers yet, but he said the ultimate goal, no matter what, is to look fresh.
That's it.
And to this day, like, I don't have like the crazy rare sneakers, wait online sneakers, mm-hmm. but my sneakers always look fresh.
Amen.
With my day-to-day outfits, you know what I mean?
Perfect.
And it's like,
that's what it's about.
And that's why people don't understand why I have this hatred for white girls that ruin Air Force Ones on purpose. It's like, it's the antithesis of what we believe in of being mm-hmm. fresh. And it's like they filthy up their Air Force Ones. And I've done this so many times on different podcasts. The last one I did was on T-Pain. That shit got like millions of views. I'm just like, you're just disrespecting the Air Force Ones, man.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Well, it's funny. I just saw, I think Megan Wright just posted the sneakers you gave her. Mm-hmm. And she said, Clark, I asked Clark if I should wear these. And he said, yeah, that's the point. You know what I mean?
It
so
is.
You're not a sneaker collector who believes in sitting on sneakers. Yeah. You're a sneaker wearer. You're
just sneaker lover. I want to wear everything that I get.
Do people ever like freak out, like can't believe what you have on your feet, that you actually wore it out the house?
Yeah. Plenty of times. Yeah, because there's sneakers that people look at like they're more than just sneakers. And I'm just like, well, what did you want it for? So you could look at it, or did you want it to wear it? So me, I want to wear it. So I end up wearing.
Do you get lots of, like, do you do multiple pairs of stuff?
Yes.
So you do keep backups, but just so you can keep wearing them.
Right. Right. If I like a sneaker, I'm the guy who will get five pair. So I can get five wears.
What do you mean five wears?
Five generational wears.
No, five wear. I don't wear sneakers twice.
See, that's what makes me a great journalist. I saw what was happening there.
He's lying. That's what's happening. He's lying. What do you mean you don't wear sneakers
that's
twice?
That's the way I give sneakers away. Like, I wear them and I give them away.
Well, you wear them once.
Yeah. Unless there's sneakers that I just run around the house in.
So you have runarounds that you just wear whatever to go to the grocery store.
I got two pairs of sneakers that I will wear to the grocery or to, you know.
What's that? What are those?
Yeah, what are those? That's key.
One is a pair of Vomeros and another is a pair of Jordan 1s, Chicago Jordan 1s.
Those are your do errands. Those are your slippers.
For sure.
His beaters are what most people's like, I'm going out tonight.
Right.
The kicks are. That's
cool.
That's cool. No judgment. No, wait, are you saying
you only wear sneakers once?
Yeah. I mean, that's not for everybody. It's just because I have so much and I'm trying to wear it all.
What size are you, Clark?
13. Jeez.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Who gets most of your sneakers?
Random people, kids on basketball courts, Chucks. You know those big bins where they're like, this is for Salvation Army or this is for Goodwill or whatever. Like, I've given to those at least once every 3 weeks.
You'll just drop off a few pairs and be like, yo.
No, 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 a lot of pairs. It would be more than as much as I've worn. Yeah. Because, you know, trying to go find people to give them to, or trying to do giveaways or hide sneakers all over the place becomes a lot. So instead, I'll give them away. Let's say there's a storm somewhere and a lot of people lost their belongings. I will grab 200-300 pairs of sneakers and give them away.
Wait, what?
So real quick. So
when Sandy happened and Katrina, I gave 1,000 pairs each. I got a lot of sneakers.
Yeah, you got to help us understand it, though, because, like, let's really try to
write. And how do you buy them?
You do what you got to do.
You go into Foot Locker?
If Foot Locker has something I want. Like, Foot Locker, I could find white and whites. I'll go to Foot Locker.
What about, like, an Air Max 97 that Foot Locker would have? Would you ever get those?
If they have it and I like it, yeah, I'll go in there. I'll get it.
Okay, so you're out of town. You're DJing somewhere. Mm-hmm. You go to the mall. Mm-hmm. You go to regular sneaker spots, you know.
I go to everywhere that sells sneakers because you never know what you'll find.
Right. And then what about, do you go to those consignment stores?
Nah, I don't pay over box price for sneakers.
That's what I'm saying. I don't hit any of those. I can't do the resale shit.
Yeah, I've done it.
Yeah. So, but you're also, let's just be realistic here. This is an honest interview. You're also getting sneakers sent to you constantly, I'm sure, too. Like, you're opening up your mail and there's just sneakers there.
For sure.
And some of them are ass and some of them are great. And some you wear and give away and some you just straight give away because you're never going to wear them.
For sure.
When did that start happening? Because we as DJs all know when we started getting records sent to us, and that was like a huge win in life when the records started showing up. But you've made it to the next thing where sneakers started showing up. Did that start?
Clothes, hats, whatever.
When did all that happen?
Mid-90s. Because I was always a sneaker guy. Like, everybody knew that I was on the sneaker thing. And then the brands would pay attention to the fact that I was. And then I became cool with people at the brands. And then I started working with the brands and, you know, having some kind of popularity within the music business. Made them go, oh, well, he'll be here, he'll be there, he'll be this place, he'll be in that country. Like, make sure that he has something that he could wear from our brand so it'll, you know, help them somehow.
And so do you now, you don't have one particular brand loyalty in terms of, like, the work you do within sneakers? You just, everyone fucks with you?
Well, yeah, because I like all sneakers. I don't like just one brand. And right. To be honest and to be fair, like, I would be lying if I said I only wear Nike. I'd be lying if I said I only wear Adidas or Puma or Reebok or whatever. That wouldn't be true. And I still want to have to be true to when I walk outside. You know what I'm saying? What if I say I only wear Nike and then walk outside with a pair of Reeboks on? I'm you know,
you're a fraud.
I'm a sneaker guy. Like, I'm not a Nike guy, I'm a sneaker guy. Do I have favorites? Sure, but I'm still a sneaker guy.
What is your favorite all-time sneaker?
White and white Air Force Ones.
Because they're the freshest.
Second
they're favorite. They're the freshest.
True. Second favorite is red and white Air Max Ones. And then third is Jordan 3s and 11s. And then
which Jordan 3? Just the black?
No, white cement.
White cement.
People like black cement. You know what I'm saying? My favorite is white cement. Jordan 11 is Concords, you know.
But you don't like fives?
No, I do like fives. They're way up on my Jordan list. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But
threes and 11s.
Threes and 11s are tied at the best Jordans to me. And then it's ones and fives and fours and
places. How many pairs of threes? How many pairs of the white cements do you think you've been through? Honestly.
I've been through?
Yes.
Maybe 100.
And how many do you have currently?
I don't know, maybe about 25.
And where is everything?
It's here.
In your house?
Yeah.
In the room you're in?
No. Oh. Right outside of the room. The room I'm in is a studio.
But, like, what do you do? So how many pairs of kicks do you think you have in your... I know. I can't wrap my brain around. I know. we're like used to dealing with, like, you know,
it's not making sense. You sound like Biz right now. Like,
yeah,
you can't have all these things, yo. How do you have, how?
Yo, Saif, he does sound like Biz. What a compliment that is. You do sound like Biz.
Him and I used to have sneaker wars.
You and Biz?
Yeah.
Did you ever think he was lying?
I didn't necessarily think he was lying because I know from where he comes from. You know what I'm saying? I know his uncle owned a sneaker shop in Albee Square Mall. So him having a lot of
really
or stretch to me. You know, that's the reason why him and I could have a sneaker war is because I knew he had some sneakers.
I assume also that your relationship with Ronnie Fai goes back to his family shop, right?
Yeah, like, no, he used to sling Timberlands to us when he was like 14, 15.
It was his uncle's store?
It was his uncle's store. Yeah.
Wait, what was the store?
David Z.
Yeah. His family owned David Z.
And Atrium.
That's what I was going to say. Then it got to Atrium.
Yeah.
Also, the David Z. So he comes from that. Yeah. So that's
true. When he was a teenager, he was meeting
the Clarks. What was those boots we used to get back in the day? Not Tim's.
Well, A Solos, Vasque.
No, there's another one.
I thought you strictly wore lugs.
No, I didn't wear lugs. There was another brand. I forgot. We used to rock them shits. They look like smooth Timberlands, black.
That probably was Vasque.
V-A-S-C?
V-A-S-Q-U-E-Z. Vasque.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those are hard.
Oh, my God.
So sneakers right there.
So do you have a great sneaker collection, or is a lot of it gone?
No, I have a lot of sneakers.
So
you wear them once, and then they're gone?
Yeah.
When you wear them once, where do you put them?
I put them to the side so that they could be known that they got to go.
But what if they're incredibly special?
And I have more than one pair.
And what if they're incredibly...
No.
Hold on. But what if they're incredibly rare, right? Like, you get sent, you know, by the plug, the sickest possible kicks. They made 25.
Oh, well, those are just going to sit.
Are you going to wear them? You'll wear them once and then let them sit.
I'm going to wear them once and let them sit, yeah.
If they're that rare.
Right. If they're that rare, then it's a gift, and then I don't give gifts away.
Right. So I can feel okay. You're the person to talk to make myself not feel bad that I've worn my M&M 4s. My only rare sneakers that I have, I wore them out.
It's funny. I wore mine and gave them away, so I don't feel bad. I wouldn't feel bad.
I don't understand.
You gave them away. Yeah. So, like, you know
really, I really thought I could get another pair.
You know what's amazing? Clark does all this, essentially. You're not trying to do this to pat yourself on the back, but Clark is essentially doing this awesome charity of giving people sneakers, but he only cares about the big footed community. I mean, if you're size 10 and a half, you're fucked up out here. You got to get Clark's 13s and shit.
Well, I wear size 13. I'm not sitting around here with a sneaker store. I don't have shoes in every size. You know what I'm saying?
I know. It makes me just wish. I'm like, damn. So when you post on your Instagram that a pair of sneakers is sitting outside of X Place, go find them. They're yours. They were a size 13.
Yeah, my size. Yeah.
Worn by you.
Worn by me, yeah. Only once.
Only one time.
Yeah.
Of course.
Wait, what are you going to wear today?
I'm wearing them. I'm wearing white on whites right now.
So how many pair of white on whites do you think you have then, the way you talk about white on white? 50 sitting in the stack?
60.
60 pairs.
Yeah.
How much are they running for a pair of white on whites these days?
100, something like that.
And did you buy these or are you gifted some of these?
No one's gifting you 100 and something pairs.
No, right.
So I'm clipping.
So you go into a let's say a Foot Locker or whatever, how many white on whites will you get at one time? 10?
10. Back in the days, though, there were shops that you would buy 50 pair at a time.
When Air Force Ones were like the new thing.
If you could find a place that had 50, you buy them.
So you're going to a store, like it's a random Monday, you walk into a Foot Locker, you're like, give me 10, 13 white on whites, and you're paying $1,400.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I don't have a lot of sneaker questions, but one more question.
Think about this, though, right? Somebody walk into a Louis Vuitton store, pay $2,400 for one pair.
True.
And you don't think that that's crazy. So if I can get 24 pair.
No, it's, I get it.
Yeah.
I wear mine more than once for sure.
That's cool. So that means you got $4,800 out of it.
Bro, I went to Jamaica once. Like I wear white on whites. Those are my, like, my beat up white on whites are my beach shoes, right? So I was in Jamaica, so I just left them in the room because I was gonna leave them. I was gonna throw them out. And the maid came running out to the shuttle van. She's like, "Mister, you left your sneakers." I go, "No, no, no, I'm throwing them out." And she's like, "Can I have them?" I said, "Yeah, you can have them." Like, it like made her, like, she's gonna give them to her son, and it made her life.
That happened to me before, where I left them, and then I get to the airport and I'm getting a call from the air, from the hotel, like, "You left your sneakers." And I'm just like, "That's the," and I was trying to get rid of them. So they were like, "We can keep them." I was like, "Yeah, you can give them away to somebody." So then I consciously would write a note every time I left a pair of sneakers. Right. Like, these can be given away.
It's just wild that you have, I don't know how you have the room for it. Are you able to have like peace and like space? Like, you don't, the sneakers aren't creeping into every part of your life?
No, they're in the basement.
And how crazy is your record collection?
That's kind of crazy.
That's in the same house you're in now?
Most of it. Not all of it. Most of it.
Sneakers and the records.
Yeah, sneakers and records, yeah. Sheesh. It's a lot of records, though.
Do you have a ballpark?
180,000. Wow. I'm a DJ from the 70s. All we had were records.
How do you store your records?
How are your shelves?
They're shelved. Yeah. Little custom wooden made cubes. Custom cubes that are put on top of each other and keep going until they hit the ceiling and then spin around the room.
Just cubes, almost like crates on the side.
Right.
And they're made from a certain guy that makes them all for you.
One guy.
For years, he's been making these for you.
Yes.
Same
guy who made Kenny Dope's cubes, same guy who made Jazzy Jeff's cubes, who made...
How expensive is this guy?
It's expensive enough. Once you start racking them up, it just... He was like 60 when he first started, $60 a cube.
What is it now? It's gone up?
I don't know what it is now. I just know I was at 60 a cube, and it was a lot that I bought in one shot.
60 a cube.
And can you take the cubes apart? They're all individual cubes?
They're individual cubes, and they hold about 100 records each.
So that's how you're able to count how many records you have, roughly.
Because
if a cube holds this many, and you have this many cubes...
Mm-hmm.
Then they lay perfectly flat on top of each other.
Crates hold a certain amount of records. I have tons of crates too. So it's
milk crates.
Yeah.
Still have the milk crates.
Absolutely. Milk crates work better than cardboard boxes.
By the way, milk crates are sneaky, heavy, and hard to carry.
The only thing about milk crates is that they only hold them, you know, the short way. You can't put them the long way, and then you got to tilt them.
That's so annoying. Anyway. What? No, Clark. That was not
way,
a pause.
The short way? No, sorry.
Yo, I mean, come on.
Okay, guys.
I like how Clark's like, "Fine, do what you want at your own risk."
Right.
So is that it for collecting for you? 150, 180,000 records.
180,000 records.
180,000.
You got a lot of records. Doubles, triples?
Doubles for sure. Because, you know, being a DJ, most of it is doubles.
But again, like sneakers, not extras beyond that. You're not a 4 and 5 copy of an album.
On certain albums, I am. You know, like, I might have 12 copies of I Want You by Marvin Gaye. Because to me, that's the best album I've ever heard. So every time I see it, I'll buy it.
You'll just buy it when you see it. Yeah.
You ever give those away?
No. That's the one thing I can't seem to give away is records.
Really?
Like a young DJ, you want to give them like 20 records to get started? Nah. Here's some joints you need to know.
No.
So you'll just give titles.
I think I called you when you were talking about giving away records. Remember that?
Yeah,
you were giving away records. I think you were talking about you were talking about something, and you was giving away records. I was like, "Dude, what are you doing?"
Don't do this.
Don't do that.
No, I gave away a lot of records that, like, I had a lot of copies of. Like, the example I always give is I had 6 copies of Mem Bleek Is.
Right.
Well, no, you need minimum 5 copies of Mem Bleek Is.
I don't need all those. I kept my 2.
Yeah, but if you think of what a record is, right? Just think of the word itself. A record is an actual proof that something happened.
Yeah.
Recording, sure.
I'm not giving away no records. That's proof. That's literal proof that something happened.
Yeah, but I love the joy of when you give somebody, especially now that people are starting to get back into collecting vinyl, and you give them a little jump start.
Okay.
Yeah, and what about reissues? Do reissues mean a lot to you? Like a reissue?
Yeah, if it's something that I know my version doesn't sound as clean as possible, yeah, I will. I'll go get a reissue.
Does anybody out there, do you know of anyone who definitively has a better sneaker collection than you?
Collection? Sure. Yeah.
Because he's not a collector, though, really.
I'm not a collector.
It's not the same. I don't put his shit in a glass box.
Like Fat Joe got a lot of heat. Perfect Pair has a lot of heat. Greg Street, Wale is that deal when it comes to shoes.
Wale's the person who got me into Jordans. Mm. Because I was never into Jordans until the day Wale gave me. Maybe I don't know if you were there, Rosenberg.
He gave us all.
Jordan 3s, right?
And he gave me my first pair of
Jordan 3s.
True blue Jordan 3s.
3s for the whole team.
And from that moment on, like I had a couple of pairs before, but I wasn't really into them.
I forgot about that.
And he gave me, I still have the box, he autographed it. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that set me on the path of liking Jordans.
Mm-hmm. I actually, Clark, it's actually a thing about Scythe that like I'm still not used to.
Very weird, I know.
And it's been like 7 years. And I'm not saying this in any sort of actual judgment. I still can't picture Scythe as a Jordan guy, even though it's all he wears now.
Yeah.
Like I see him and I'm like, what's this guy fucking wearing Jordans for? You were always Air Force Ones?
Air Max, most Air Force
Ones. Air Max.
Nice.
Okay. So we have some questions I want to ask you. Some that we wrote down, and I got a couple here from the Discord. That are pretty good, including this one. Can you tell us a little something about Kobe?
Kobe, great guy. Great guy. Ultimate competitor. And I mean in like damn near everything. If basketball didn't ring off, he would have tried to be a rapper for sure. I produced him as a rapper once.
Just once? What record was that?
48 at the Buzzer. On Shaquille O'Neal's album. And he was like literally trying to be the best rapper on the song.
Who else was on it?
It was either Sauce Money or Sonya Blade and Shaquille O'Neal. It was Shaquille's record. What are you doing, dog?
Come on, you know what I'm doing.
Oh my God.
He loved hip hop like that?
Yeah. He was competitive about writing good bars. I think a funny story is like I was always a Kobe fan and like I always thought he was amazing. And then you know, like I had every Kobe jersey possible. And like I never
You were a fan.
Oh no, yeah. Like I thought he was the heir apparent. And I never wore them until he retired. But then so one day I go to a game and I'm wearing one. But I'm wearing one that you had to get while he was playing. So he was going, yo, how long you had that? I was like, oh, I'm like your fifth or sixth year. And he was like, yo, so you never wore it? And I was like, no. He was like, why you never wore it? I said, because you were playing. And he was like, what that got to do with anything? I said, I can't wear your jersey if you're still beating up on my team. I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? I can't do it. Like I literally have LeBron jerseys that I just can't wear because you still give my Knicks problems.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
So we were at a game, we were standing on the floor and he's going crazy. And I'm just like, what? I'm still your man. We still cool. He was like, you are a funny motherfucker. I was like, I'm wearing it, dog. What do you want from me? I'm fucking wearing it.
You wore it then. You wore it.
Yeah, I was wearing it. But he was like, yo, but that came out. And I was like, yeah, that's when I got it. He was like, yo, you're a funny one. I never seen you wear one of my jerseys. And now I said, dog, now every time I come to LA, I wear a Kobe jersey or I wear Kobe sneakers like every time.
But it was only once he was retired.
Yeah, once he had to be retired. I could wear his sneakers back then, but if he was playing, I could not.
The jersey felt like too much. And by the way, I haven't even asked how crazy your jersey collection is, because I'm sure that's wild too.
That's pretty crazy.
Because I've seen you out in your share of jerseys. So I know the. Oh, yeah. Let's hear 48 at the buzzer, Scythe. This is DJ Clark Kent.
God, no.
Uh-huh. Club. Yeah. Oh, that's you.
Wait.
Here's the proper set off, wet and soft. That's how my honeys get. Never personal, baby. I ain't the one to trip.
By the way, I want to stop this for a second.
Wait, here's I don't think that's...
You don't think that's it?
That's not it.
It said your name.
48 at the buzzer is Sonya Blade and what's the Kobe joint?
So this is your record, but Kobe's not on it.
No, that's not the one that he's on.
But this is
that
your
was
record.
Shaq rapping?
That's my record, yeah.
Yo, for the record, I just like that. We'll find it. I just like that every time Clark acts like hesitant about hearing a record, they're always fire. Like, it's always something I've never heard. And I'm like, yo, this shit's actually fucking. This is a Shaq record.
Thank you.
Here's the proper set off, wet and soft. That's how my honeys get. Never personal, baby. I ain't the one to trip. Nothing but G's what I come to get. Not like fake MCs who walk around broke with a money clip. Quite confusing, ain't it? They try to fool a brother. They never pass eighth grade and want to school a brother. Just a select few guys.
Is it three times dope?
Play it from the beginning. That might be it.
Let's see. Is it this?
Yes, that's it.
I reach destinations with split second acceleration in the capsule of time to witness
Kobe.
Own evaporation. Slash paragraphs to emphasize my emphasis. Abbreviate lyricists, the lyrical shorthandists. I kidnap planets for atmospherical advantage. My lyrical damage derives from mental mechanics. With the mic in hand, I'm immortal to you, mans. My diaphragm allows me to kill a whole clan. Verse for verse, you'll get your verse reversed. Battle rhyme since fair and midair and change course. I've been held captive for scientific attractions. Nuclear rays made my brain radioactive. Knock the world off its axis. Redesign the atlas. Reconstruct the globe with chisaw geographics. Rhythmical mathematics calculated you the average. More L's than 90 degree angles on graphics.
Yo, he's not bad. You can just hear that he's trying to be perfect.
Yeah, he was just trying to be ill. He was trying to be one of those rappity rappers.
Of course he would. Of course Kobe would try to be that. Of course,
exactly.
The most technical, physical part of rapping.
Exactly.
All right. So on to some other questions we have for the great Clark Kent.
Great. Jeez.
You tried to not answer.
Hold on. What's your problem? Oh, we didn't talk about Rob Swift.
Oh yes. Go ahead, please.
First of all, what is you say you're great at everything? But if someone else says it, you're great.
I'm great at everything.
You literally, your name is Superman.
Fair.
You're God's favorite DJ. God's favorite.
Right, but that doesn't say you're the best. That says I'm his favorite.
There was some talks when we had Rob Swift on about him being in a battle against one of your Supermen, and also Rock Raider getting very upset of coming in second to somebody. He says it might have been a little nepotism with Superman DJs. In the battles back in those days. You were the judge, maybe?
I was never the judge.
But you were never a judge.
Yeah, so being angry at me would be the wrong thing to be, because the actual reason why there were battles is because of me. Like, when the New Music Seminars decided that they weren't going to do the battles anymore, they decided it like a month before the battle.
Yeah.
And I was working with the New Music Seminar on all the battles. So when they do it and they decide they're not going to do it a month before the battle, all the DJs are there hanging. So what do? I take it on myself. I put up my own money. I threw the battle. And then at that point, now I own the battle because they're not going to do it anymore. So I got to pick up the slack for them not doing it, because for DJs, I stand. You know what I mean? So I did it every year after that. And it can't be a nepotism thing. It's a I love the craft thing. So let me just do it for the craft, you know?
Well, that was the
whole thing.
Controversy.
Well, where's the controversy in it? I don't get it. Like, if I don't do the DJ battles, then what happens?
It was something that was Rock Raider.
It was crew versus crew is what it said.
It was never crew against crew, because our crew never went against their crew. There was never a my crew against your crew battle. If you really, really like get to it, like I literally love the X-Men. I actually asked them if I could manage them. I did, like, and if you ask Rob, he'll tell you that's true. I sat him down, we had lunch. I was like, can I manage you? If I don't do better for you in this space of time than you've done all year last year, fire me and it'll be all good. But at least let me try. You know what I mean? And they said no. They said it wasn't about money. And I was like, okay, cool. I didn't have no feelings towards it. I just thought they were a remarkable crew of DJs, you know? And I mean, the crew was put together to rival the Supermen, but I never even looked at it like that. I never like let that be a thing.
All right. How about this, Clark? I kind of asked you earlier about an overall project or artist. Do you have a slept on the production credit? Or even if it's just one that you don't think people think of that often when they think of you, but you're like, nah, this shit was actually pretty hard.
Dedicated by Das Effects. I thought that beat, when I did it, I thought that beat was nuts.
Which album was that on?
On the second, I think.
Straight Up Suicide?
Yeah.
That's all right. Here it is. Oh, no. It was on Hold It Down.
Probably, yeah.
Hold It Down's fire. All right, here, let's, it's dedicated. Hold on.
Oh, I remember this. I didn't know you did this.
I'm stuck up, I tell them shut the fuck up. And you can get your man, I bet the granny getting rucker. So what up? Who wanna fuck around and get silly? Really? We on the road again, just like Willie. Nelson, so what the hell?
Is that the same piano from Fudge Pudge? The key?
No. Wait.
Mm-hmm. So if you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's not? Okay.
No.
What is it? What is that sample?
That sample is... It's what's his name? Who made Mr. Magic?
Right. Oh,
Grover Washington.
Grover Washington. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's the record that I always used to think that Mass Appeal was made from the bassline part. Huh? It sounds like the doom, but underneath it, the doom.
Oh.
But then,
oh,
when you hear the Mass Appeal, you hear where it comes from.
That 50 Cent the Fuck You song.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's, most people don't believe it's me.
Oh, you did it.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying the same sample. You did that when you're saying
Fuck You 50 Cent?
Yeah.
No, that 50, that's not me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the name of the song.
Right. Right,
hold on.
The name of the song.
Let's see. Here we go. 50 Cent, Fuck You. This is from
the mixtape.
This is from the mixtape with him fucking pointing the gun on the cover. Look at the lunatic. Here we go.
This and that, I'm even better than before.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you, niggas is this and that. I'm just the best. Fuck you, niggas is this and that. I'm even
how would they think you didn't do that? It sounds just like you.
Fuck you, niggas is this and that. I'm just the best.
Either I'm tripping off of ecstasy or I can feel the world turning. I'm having flashbacks, I can feel the shell burning. Coming up, I was taught never back down. That's why I act the way I act now. Hold a mat down. 32 shots, please stay in the shell left. Run with my gun smoking, you can smell death. They get the first laugh, I get the last laugh on.
What was this version of the super, super duper hungry 50 Cent like?
Let me give you an idea. That song was supposed to be on my album.
Okay.
But it was him, Sauce Money, and Spade from Dutch and Spade from Philly, and Joel Marquis, a cat from Queens. It was all of them was on the song. And when 50 came to record his verse, he goes, "Yo, I'm ready. We going." He goes in the booth and he does that first verse, and I'm like, "Okay, bet." And then he goes, "Nah, I got two more." And I was like, "No, I only needed you." He was like, "Nah, Clark, you gotta let me have this song." What do you mean? He was like, just listen to the whole thing. You got to let me have it. Pause. So I listened and I was like, fuck. Like, because it was, I just was like, okay. So it didn't go to my album. It went to him. He had three verses and I was like, I said one verse. Like, pick one. He was like, when you hear it. And yeah.
Yo, that's wild. And it just ended up being a joint on his mixtape.
Yeah, but it's crazy because that's the song on the mixtape that made the A&Rs pay good attention. Mm. That's the one that they were like, yo, what the fuck is this song? What the fuck is this song?
By the way, this is post Sony. This is post Sony pre-Dre.
Yeah.
Did he pay you for it?
Nah, it was a mixtape song.
You're fine giving it to him.
Yeah, because, you know, he was cool. He was cool with us.
No, I get it.
I met 50 when he was working with Trackmaster. Well, actually, I met 50 when he was with Jam Master Jay. And then I met him again when he was with Trackmasters, because when I was up in Bearsville, New York, producing Slick Rick's album, they were in the other studio and they was working
on... Which Slick Rick album? Which Slick Rick album?
The one he came home from jail.
The one when he just got home.
Yeah.
Wait, Art of Storytelling, you mean, for Def Jam? Or you mean when he was still up there? Okay.
No, the one when he came home.
All right.
He was in the next studio with Trackmasters, and I would go over... And I would hear records playing and I'd be like, okay. And then things went awry. And then you hear Your Life's on the Line. I'm like, oh shit, that's different from what I was hearing. But we were already cool. I'm talking about the quarters in the chain 50.
Yeah.
Yo, what the fuck is this, Syph? Look what I just stumbled upon while looking at Clark stuff. What's this? Savage, and no, I don't have it. I get it together like a marriage. I'm seeing no rappers. I'm on my B's and Q's and carrots. You don't understand? Well, goddamn, don't you know my status? I'm flowing the fattest. I'm the baddest. No need to explain my name. The only thing that matters. What's up is who bite me? Hove demo?
Yeah.
Why do I know the verse, but not this but not the song?
Put the verse on something else.
Cause it's the man. Oh, Original Flavor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Wait.
What was it on?
I can't remember what it was on. It was on a different song, though. Was it I Can't Get With That? I don't know.
Or maybe it was I Can't Get With That.
You did that? You did I Can't Get With That, right?
Yeah. I did that.
Ooh.
Yo, crazy, look, it's on YouTube. It just says Jay-Z demo.
Yeah.
Is that actually what the tape looked like?
Mm-mm.
It's made up. Someone just threw that on. Yo, everything's up here, bro. How about Jay-Z and Sauce Money Behind the Ropes demo? You know what that is?
Yeah.
Is that you or no?
I think that might be Premiere. Play it. Yeah, man, it's a Bed-Stuy thing, man. It's a Marcy
LG thing, man. We live in Marcy Park right now, man. Brand new Sauce Money, money. Featuring Jay-Z, Mr. C.
Nah, I think that might be.
Produced by C?
I think so.
I flow like breakfast when I spit. So all you need is bacon and eggs, cause I take it back to the grid. They ask why I never signed to the rock. But if Jay is my man, then what's the difference, son? We both signed to the block. Niggas is jumping around like House of Pain, Bumpy humping the ground. Soon as
it's crazy that there's like just a world of rarities that all exist.
Hmm.
Right now, we can just find them any fucking time. Also, the way you use the De La,
you can't find.
Tell us more.
Because I didn't leak anything.
Yeah, how much did you do on the All City album?
One,
just one.
Yeah. Why? What are we doing?
Money makes the world go round.
I don't even remember the name of the song. No, why are we doing this right now?
Sorry. You're right. I should do this all day.
What Wan Ep is, bro.
Yeah, I started asking what's the slept on one, and you gave me one, and then we kept going. So like, you wanted to ask him about his favorite Biggie.
Let me ask you a question, Clark Kent.
Yes, sir.
Clark Kent, renowned DJ around the world.
Clark, man. Why are we doing this?
DJ Clark Kent.
Superman, God's favorite DJ.
Whatever your real name is. I want to ask you a random question. What is your favorite Biggie remix? Top five. What is your top five favorite Biggie remixes? Because the reason why I'm asking this is because I remember I was with DJ Riz, and you came up and you played for us on a DAT tape, the Players Anthem remix.
Yeah, that's probably, well, I can't say that's the best because it's still the same verse. But like, are you asking me like,
any Biggie? I'm just as an expert in Biggie, just a guy who knew Biggie, just random Biggie remixes. What is your top five?
Remixes.
Yeah.
I can't even say he was on a bunch of remixes.
There was some.
He was on 112. That was a remix.
Sure was.
Yeah.
But he's on the original too.
He is though. On the original, but the remix is better. I mean,
he's on the original and then he's on the remix, but then so is Mace.
Right.
Like one that I just came across recently that I forgot about that I just cleaned up was the Big Papa So Def remix.
Oh, nah, I love Mary J. Blige. Real love. Real love. That shit is the ignorant. That's the ignorant.
Yeah, that's hard to beat. The Betty. Yeah,
real love.
Betty Wright.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I like, you can't even say pause. We're talking about Biggie. He was on a record called Fuck in the Ass with Crustified Dibs. Okay.
Yeah, that's pause.
We can't even get into his lyrics. All right. But Syfe, Big Papa remix is a sort of forgotten about gem that no one talks about. What's the
remix is hard.
The what?
Not because I did it, but because it's just hard.
Which one? Pause.
Players Anthem remix.
Players Anthem is fire.
Wait, you did both? You did both versions?
I did both versions, yeah.
Yo, but which one do you like better?
It's a toss-up to me.
That's rough.
It's a real toss. It's one of the rare toss-ups.
And the reason why is because when I did it, like, we all sat around going, why is this a totally different record? But it was wild because Un was like, yo, Clark, we were sitting in the studio and chilling. And he goes, yo, remix Players Anthem. And I was like, what? He was like, remix Players Anthem. And I literally sat there for a while trying to figure out how.
Especially with the same verses. Because you think of Get Money remix is basically a different song, different verses and all that. Players Anthem is the same verses, you just put on a different beat.
Right. So I was just trying to figure out how. And then I just started fucking with the sample. Everybody leaves. I start fucking with the sample. And then I just connected the drum machine to the tape and was just like, let's see. And it became what it is. And I just was like, but then I was like, oh shit, no, this shit is hard as shit. Pause. And then when everybody came back the next day, they were just like, yo, how the fuck? And I was just like confused myself because I was like, it doesn't seem like the same record, but it's the same record.
Nah, it's fire though.
Don't forget Dolly My Baby's remix too. Fire.
Yeah, Dolly My Baby's a remix. Yeah. Yes.
Like
that's hard. That's fire.
Cause then we were talking about Juicy, how the Juicy remix Pete told us.
No. One more chance.
Yeah.
The version everybody knows is the remix.
It was a remix,
That over is magnificent.
Yeah,
that's a great, great record.
I mean, how often is there a song where there are three versions and all are fire? Because the hip hop mixes. I Need a Girl, part one. Okay. I Need a Girl, part two. What's the third?
There's three.
What's the third?
Wait, Diddy, I Need a Girl?
Yes, there's three versions. There's one with Usher. There's one with Usher. There's one with Mario Winans.
Yeah, that's two.
And then there's a... That's two.
No, that's one. That's one. That's two.
That's all that's here.
Nah.
Just that bounce right here.
There's another one he's saying.
There it is.
No, fuck out of here. I love you. Fuck no. Stop. That's not in the conversation with what I just talked about with the Biggie three versions of One More Chance.
That's three versions of one song, and they're all fire.
Fair, you did come up with a song with three versions.
What do you want?
But One More Chance original on the album, guys, I could argue is as fire as any of them. It's the original's fucking incredible. But
I just showed you three that you could argue the same way.
You did. I just didn't like them as much, okay? But I'm impressed.
Oh.
It's called personal bias, okay? It's called personal bias, all right? But this once you get through the whole fucking...
Last night, that's my best friend, and we don't get fit. Now check this shit, I got the pack of Rough Riders in the back of the Pathfinder. You know the left along by James Caan.
Smith, I get swift, fire. Miracle kick,
hit you with the... Yo, bro, like, this is just, this is so...
So recognize the dick size in these Hawkeye jeans. I've been 13. Yo, when you should have put that on the... They should have put that on the single vinyl.
Just cuz. Why not?
Just cuz. And with an instrumental...
But you remember what they put on instead?
Huh?
They put on the radio edit of the What instead.
Yeah, but yeah, still, there was a lot of things, and there was a lot of different versions. I have three different versions of the One More Chance single.
And now no one plays the hip hop mix anymore, really, either. Everyone plays Stay With Me for the most part.
That hip hop mix was fire.
I have it. The way I always used to blend it, I would want the first verse, the Stay With Me, and then the second verse was the...
Yeah.
Hip hop mix. I just made an edit like that. I always do this live. I'm just gonna just edit it.
I always did that live.
But you did the same thing. Started with Stay With Me and then switched to hip hop.
Because the second verse goes a cappella, and then it goes burn. Yeah, that shit.
This is the stupid immature hip hop DJ in me likes the hip hop mix more because it's so fun. There's so much to cut at the beginning of the hip hop mix. It has the first, just the beat is fire, but then it has the "As We Proceed" is a great piece to cut in, and the first things first is fire. Like it's just a fucking awesome record. When you think of Biggie Clark, it's weird because he was 24 years old, and you guys were how much? But you were older. You were 5 years older.
Eight, I think. Wait, how was no 5 or 6?
5 or 6 years older. Like, when you see a 24-year-old now, I'm sure they seem so much younger. Do they seem so much younger than what Biggie is in your mind? You know what I mean? Because he was a kid.
Did Biggie in person seem younger than how he seemed to the public on records and in videos? Because he seemed older. Well, when you talk to him personally in a studio, was he a 21-year-old kid?
Yes. Yes. It's just he was the leader of his whole crew. So it was like he was an OG way before he could even. Right. All of his crew was teenagers.
Yeah, except for D-Rock.
Yeah.
But and still,
D-Rock was the OG to everybody there too.
You know? Yeah.
But I'm the older guy to them.
Right. And so he seemed young to you even then.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So when you met him, he was 20?
28. No, first time I met him.
He was 18?
Like, I think 18, yeah.
18. And you're like 25 at the time.
Yeah.
Which, so an 18-year-old is mad old.
Yeah, relatively. And wait, you and Jay are close to the same age though, right? You're a few years older than Jay too.
Yeah, I'm older than Jay too, yeah.
So you're 90 years old.
A lot of people don't know this. Clark Kent is 93 years old. Wow.
95th birthday coming this year, son. Yeah.
And by the way, the joint that you did for Treacherous 3, when you produced
Heartbeat over again.
You produced Heartbeat. I couldn't believe it. We'd never seen that before. The Roof Is on Fire, another Clark Kent credit.
I didn't do that.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Oh, don't do that.
Just busting your balls. Hey, Clark, it means the world to us when you make time to chat with us.
It's an honor to be asked.
And I can't guarantee it's going to be the last time. We'll probably come back and bother you again. So
whenever you guys are ready.
And I really want us to find that last one too, because you were fantastic when you came and did that show for us. So we appreciated you. Yo, isn't it crazy? This technology, like, it still existed when we had you up to Mass Appeal.
Right.
But COVID hasn't happened yet, so we hadn't thought about it. So every interview that they're trying to get for us, half of them we couldn't get done because people weren't as generous as you were and willing to get in a car and come see us.
Right.
And now we realize, like, fuck, that whole podcast could have been a different experience altogether.
Right.
But no matter what the tech was, you were always there, and we greatly appreciate it.
For sure. Y'all are good guys in my book.
Well, at least in your book. And you know what? You and our book too. No matter what the internet's saying on any given day, we know. We're with God. You're our favorite DJ also.
Thank you, man. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Thanks, Clark.
All right, brothers.